Chapter 4. In the early morning chill, Kip jogged across the town square as fast as his ungainly 15-year-old frame would allow. He caught his shoe on a cobblestone and pitched headlong through Master Danavis's back gate.
"Are you okay, boy?"
Master Danavis asked from his seat at his workbench, his dark eyebrows rising high above cornflower blue eyes, the irises half filled with a stark ruby red that marked him a drafter. Master Danavis was in his early 40s, beardless and wiry, wearing thick wool work pants and a thin shirt that left lean, muscled arms uncovered despite the cold morning. A pair of red spectacles sat low on his nose.
"Ow! Ow!"
Kip looked at his skinned palms. His knees were burning too.
"No! No, I'm not!"
He hitched his pants up, wincing as his scraped palms rubbed on the heavy, once black linen.
"Good. Good, because... here. Tell me, are these the same?"
Master Danavis put out both of his hands. Both were bright red, filled with luxin from the elbow to his fingers. He turned his arm over so that his light, corpy and cream-coloured skin wouldn't interfere as much with Kip's examination. Like Kip, Master Danavis was a half-breed, though Kip had never heard anyone give the drafter any trouble for that, unlike him. In the dyer's case, he was half-blood forester, his face marked with a few strange dots they called freckles, and a hint of red in his otherwise normal dark hair. But at least his lighter-than-normal skin made what he was asking Kip easy. Kip pointed to a region from the dyer's forearm to his elbow. "This red changes colour here, and this one's a bit brighter. Can I, talk to you, sir?" Master Danavis flicked both hands down with disgust, and ruby luxin splashed onto ground already splattered 100 shades of red. The gooey luxin crumpled and dissolved. Most afternoons, Kip came to sweep up the remnants. Red luxin was flammable even when it was dust.
"Super chromats. It's one thing for my daughter to be one, but the Alcaldessa's husband.
And you?
Two men in one town?"
"Wait, what's wrong, Kip?"
"Sir, there's a..."
Kip hesitated. Not only was the battlefield forbidden, but Master Danavis had once said that he thought scavenging there was no different than grave robbing.
"Have you heard from Liv, sir?"
Coward. 3 years ago, Liv Danavis had left to be trained at the Chromeria like her father before her. They'd only been able to afford for her to come home at the harvest break her first year.
"Come here, boy. Show me those hands."
Master Danavis grabbed a clean rag and blotted up the blood, dislodging the dirt with firm strokes. Then he uncorked a jug and held the rag over its mouth. He rubbed the brandy-soaked rag over Kip's palms. Kip gasped.
"Don't be a baby,"
Master Danavis said. Even though Kip had done odd jobs for the dyer for as long as he could remember, he was still scared of him sometimes.
"Knees."
Grimacing, Kip pulled up one pant leg and propped his foot on a workbench. Liv was 2 years older than Kip, almost 17 now. Not even the lack of men in the village had made her look at Kip as anything more than a child, of course, but she had always been nice to him. A pretty girl, being nice and only accidentally patronizing, was pretty much the best Kip could hope for.
"Let's just say that not all sharks and sea demons are in the sea. Chromeria's a tough place for a Tyrian since the war."
"So you think she might come home?"
"Kip,"
Master Danavis said.
"Is your mother in trouble again?"
Master Danavis had refused to apprentice Kip as a dyer, saying there wasn't enough work in Little Recton to give Kip a future, and insisting he only was a halfway decent dyer himself because he could draft. He'd been something else before the Prism's War, obviously, because he'd been Chromeria trained. That wasn't cheap, and most drafters were sworn to service to pay the expense. So Master Danavis's own master must have been killed during the war, leaving him adrift. But few adults talked about those days. Tyria had lost and everything had gotten bad. That's all Kip or the other children knew. So Master Danavis paid Kip to do odd jobs and, like half the mothers in town, would give him a meal any time he wandered by. Even better, he always let Kip eat the cakes the women in town sent, trying to attract the handsome bachelor's attention.
"Sir, there's an army on the other side of the river. They're coming to wipe out the town to make an example of us for defying King Haridul."
Master Danavis started to say something, then saw that Kip was serious. He said nothing for a moment, Then his whole demeanour changed. He started asking Kip questions, rapid fire. Where were they, exactly? When was he there? How did he know they were going to wipe out the town? What had the tents looked like? How many tents had he counted? Were there any drafters? Kip's answers were unbelievable even to his own ears. But Master Danovis accepted it all.
He said King Hradul is recruiting Kalawites? You're certain?
Yes, sir.
Master Danovis rubbed his upper lip with thumb and forefinger. Like a man would smooth his moustache, though he was clean-shaven. He strode to a chest, opened it and grabbed a purse out.
Kip, your friends are fishing this morning at Greenbridge. You need to get out there and warn them. The king's men will seize that bridge. If you don't warn them, your friends will be killed or taken for slaves. I'll warn everyone here in town. Worst comes to worst, use that money to get to the Cromeria. Liv will help you.
But my mother? Where?
Kip, I'll do my best to save her and everyone here. No one else is going to save your friends. You want Isabel taken as a slave? You know what happens, right?
Kip blanched. Issa was still a tomboy, but it hadn't escaped him that she was turning into a beautiful woman. She wasn't always very nice to him, but the thought of someone hurting her filled him with rage.
Yes, sir.
Kip turned to go, hesitated.
Sir, what's a super-chromat?
A pain in my ass! Now go!